faith, hope, and love. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Lord, help us to hear what you are saying today. Holy Spirit, teach us today. And we open up our hearts to you, Lord, as we look at these verses together and the meaning of faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to study faith, hope, and love. And this morning, we're going to focus in on faith. And once again, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, the scripture says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And Elder James, I'm getting a little feedback up here. In this letter to the Corinthian church, Paul was addressing a conflict in the church regarding the use of spiritual gifts. And he was reminding them that the gifts that God has given us, the spiritual gifts, are for the building of the church. They weren't for people to show off or to compare their gifts with each other, but the gifts were for the building of the church. And he was reminding them that their gifts didn't impress God, that because God gave them their gifts. So if God hadn't given it to them, they wouldn't be able to function in them. And so there was a whole lot of conflict going on in the church. Romans 12:3, Paul said, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." My message this morning isn't on spiritual gifts. We teach many classes in our School of Ministry about spiritual gifts. Bishop Bill Hammond is the father of the prophetic. He has written several wonderful courses that we study in School of Ministry. But I wanted to keep the main thing in this chapter, because Paul was addressing this conflict because people were misusing the gifts in the church. Everybody wanted to participate, and everybody was pushing to have their place. Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't see that going on anywhere today. All right. And often people think that this chapter 13 is the love chapter, and they use it at weddings. Right. But reality is, this love chapter was for the church. Paul wrote this letter to the church. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, he said, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away." And the only thing that would remain or abide forever is faith, hope, and love. And so as we study this chapter, we're going to keep the main thing the main thing, because what is remaining is the main thing. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, there's another scripture on faith, hope, and love. And there's several if you search for them in your Bible. But we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by your faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see that faith produces the work. Without faith, there wouldn't be works. And love prompts us to keep working. It prompts us. And then hope in God's promise gives us the endurance to continue to do what we are doing. So oftentimes Paul would intertwine and mix the order of faith, hope, and love, depending upon the contextual need of the people he addressed. Faith, hope, and love gives us a bit of an idea of God's roadmap for how we are to move forward in helping to grow in Christ's kingdom. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. Faith, without faith, there is no victory. Hope, without hope, there is no power to move into the future. Without love, there is no consolation for the hurt, the pain, and the anger we face every day. These things remain: faith, hope, and love. So in Hebrews 11, which is a familiar scripture for most of us, Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the assurance that God will do what he says he will do, and then acting on that conviction. We see a perfect example of one who followed this roadmap in Abraham when Paul wrote in Romans 4:20 through 21. He said, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So we see Abraham functioning in what is the most important things that remain, and we see him holding on with hope to the promises of God. He had faith. It did not waver. And he gave God glory. And he was persuaded. Are we persuaded this morning that God is able to do what he promised us that he would do? Your work produces faith. Faith produces work. Any ministry or relationship that's not based on faith is sure to fail. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Great relationships, great ministries. They emanate faith. So we're going to take a look at how does faith come. Faith is kind of this mysterious thing. It's risky. Like a man shared in our video clip this morning, it's risky. We want to have all the details. We want to have everything that we need so we can do it perfectly, right? So we know what our next move is. That's human nature. We want to know. But faith is not always knowing how God is going to bring it about. This morning I had three grandchildren on stage singing praise and worship with me. I've had prophetic words about that. The word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. He does these things for us when we continue to believe that what God promised us, it will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we see this in Abraham. And we're going to take a look at how faith comes. Do you want to know how faith comes? Do you want to function in that? Faith? How does faith come? Well, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. And we're going to read this passage from Genesis 17, 1 through 3. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked to him. And then God talked to him about his covenant promise that he was given to him. So people seek faith, but the secret of faith is hearing God's voice. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's say that together. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the New Testament, there are two distinct Greek words that are translated word. They are the logos and the rhema. If we don't know the difference, then we won't understand many of the passages in the New Testament. The logos word, it's a great concept in Greek language. I took Greek in Bible college, and it's a fascinating language. And the Koine Greek that was used at the time to tell Jesus' story is they consider the perfect language. There are several tenses in the language to explain exactly what is happening. And we're not going to talk about Greek this morning, but we do want to talk about the logos and the rhema word. So logos is a concept with all sorts of meanings, but basically it means mind and counsel and reason and purpose. So logos in the Bible is the mind of God, the counsel of God's total purpose. In Psalm 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." So God's eternal word is settled in the heavens forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." So the logos word, the written word of God, this is settled in the heavens. What is prophesied in this book will come to pass. And we're living in the end times where we actually see the prophecies in the scripture being fulfilled right before our very eyes. This is eternal. We cannot change it. The other word that is used for word is rhema. Rhema word is a spoken word. It's not rhema unless it is spoken. It is only a word that is spoken. Matthew 4:4. Jesus is given an account of his temptation in the wilderness. And Jesus was so hungry, he had fasted 40 days. Can you imagine? No food for 40 days. And Satan came to him and tempted him and told him, "If you're the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread." And Jesus said to him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema that comes from the mouth of God." Every spoken word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus said God has a rhema for us each day. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. It's not the logos word. The scripture, when you translate it from the Greek, does not say faith comes from reading your Bible. Although we need to read our Bible, because often that's when the rhema word comes. That's when God begins to speak. It's the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the word of God. Once again, the logos word is eternal, unchanged counsel of God in the heavens. The rhema is a word spoken by God to an individual. Because we don't live by bread alone. We need to hear from the Lord. We cannot comprehend with our finite minds the total counsel and reason and purposes of God that He has outlined in His Logos Word. So what God does, He measures out His counsel to us every day in a rhema word. Man lives by the counsel of God, which is proportioned out to us rhema by rhema by rhema. Often when we read the Bible, a sentence will just leap out to us. Have you ever experienced that? Like this light bulb goes off over your head and it's just like, wow. Who's experienced that? Or often we'll get a thought, which we believe is a thought from the throne room. We'll get a thought from the throne room that encourages us, gives us direction, gives us guidance, changes our focus. Has anyone ever experienced that? In counseling, we call it a cognitive shift. We get a cognitive shift. In the scripture, it's called the renewing of your mind. God shifts your thinking, and you begin to see and understand by the Spirit of God, His counsel, His reason, His purpose. Let's go on. Once again, faith comes by hearing the rhema word of God. We want to have faith, then we must hear God's voice. In some Christian denominations and circles, that's a very strange thing. They don't understand that because they believe that the gifts ended in the New Testament. But the scripture says that prophecies will cease and tongues will be stilled when He that is perfect has come. He's not come yet, right? Once Jesus shows up, we don't need to prophesy or to function in the gifts. But obviously, we will still be functioning in faith in God. We will still be functioning in hope. And the love of God overwhelms us. It's a kingdom of love. God is love. He is love. Everything that He does from love. Thank you, Lord. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the rhema word of God. Before we go on here, I just want to go back to Genesis 17, 1 through 3. And just remind you that Abraham was so humbled when God came to him that he fell on his face. And God began to talk to him. You see, he heard God's voice. God gave him the promises. God told him what he was going to do in his life. And even in the midst of years and years of it not coming to pass, Abraham held on, even though he did try and fulfill it himself. The promise, God will work it out the way that He has designed for it to be worked out for us. He asked us to have faith and hope and love and continue to trust Him, even though it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Even though it looks like it's not going to happen, if God said He will do it, He will do it. That is what faith is. Faith is believing that God will fulfill His promise for you. So don't give up. Hold on to the promises of God. Thank you, Lord. So having faith, we've learned from the scripture, centers around hearing the voice of God. The prophet Jeremiah in 7:23 said, "But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well of you." So they heard God's voice. Obey my voice. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and none other will they follow." And David, the psalmist David, now Jesus called us sheep, so he's our shepherd, right? Everybody agree? Yeah? The psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So how can the Lord be our shepherd? Only if we hear his voice. That's how. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about that. Hearing the voice of the Lord, we're to cultivate a desire. We're to cultivate that, hearing the voice of the Lord and recognizing his voice. His voice is always present in the sense of time. So his voice is, it's intangible. We can't touch it. We can't see it or feel it, but it is in our sense of hearing God's voice. Adam and Eve heard God's voice. He walked with them. He talked with them in the garden. The scripture puts a big emphasis on hearing God's voice. If we're going to fulfill the will of God in our lives, we've got to have some communication, right? And God is right now, God. I'm talking right now. So you're experiencing my voice. My voice is in the now. We spend a whole lot of time thinking about the past. And people who talk about everything God did in the past, they do not have a relationship with the God in the present. Because the God of the present is still working in their life and speaking to them. Not that it's wrong to share stories and testimonies of what God did in the past, but have you ever been around someone who talks about the past all the time? And it's like they are not with us in the present time? People often avoid present reality because they don't want to face the reality of where they are right now. So we think about the past, or, oh, let's think about heaven. Hallelujah. Preach about when we get on the other side. Let's just think about heaven. Or let's just talk about Moses and everything God did for them. What is God doing today for you? His voice is very present. I had a professor that taught us to go to bed right and get up right. And in the Jewish culture, the day begins in the evening. That's why you go to bed right. If you're on God's time. And then you get up right. Because God has a rhema word for you for the day. I believe that. Do you believe that? He's got a word for you for the day. I thought about Moses. When Moses met with God, he's like, what am I going to tell them? Who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, I am that I am. He's the God of the I am. Right now, present in this place. I know he's talking to you because that's what the Holy Spirit does when we gather together. He ministers to every single person exactly what you need in your life. First Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Our lives are empowered and energized by faith and love. I love this passage when you can just imagine or visualize that we wear our faith and our love like a breastplate. That breastplate protects us. We need faith and love to guard our hearts. Hopeful people have great faith for what God is going to do through them and what God is going to do with them that day. Let's live every day to the fullest, because the scripture says we have no promise for tomorrow. Those five police officers went to work that night, and their family kissed them goodbye, and they did not know they would not be coming home. We have no promise, the scripture says. So we live for today, doing all that we can do today. So faith helps us make our belief in God more public. As everything is raging in America, I don't know if you saw the news article that Russia passed a law yesterday that the gospel message cannot be shared outside of a church. And if you have friends in your home for dinner and you invite an unbeliever and you share the gospel with them, you can be arrested and put in jail. That's what Putin has done. He has put great restrictions on the church in Russia. And don't think that couldn't happen here. So pray for our brothers and sisters in Russia. They are going through perilous times. What? They're trying to stop the spreading of the gospel. The thing that is going to bring back Jesus Christ isn't all the violence and everything getting worse. What's going to bring back Jesus Christ is the preaching of the gospel to all nations. That's what's going to bring back Jesus. So if the church really wants Jesus to come back, then we should be a part of praying for people who are taking the gospel into the world, giving to people who are taking the gospel into the world. And some of us are called to go ourselves into the world to preach the gospel. And you have no idea who you're teaching and equipping and sharing the gospel word with, how many people that one person is going to reach in that nation. That's what I think of when I go to the nations. How many people, the people sitting out in front of me, are going to reach with the love and the gospel of the kingdom of God. So we get stuck on, well, there's just not that many people, so, or what's the use? No, we, each one of us, have an assignment from God. If we hear his voice, we're going to know what that is every day. We have this team that's getting ready to go to Belize, and Belize is much like Africa. When you go over there, you pay for the projects that they are going to be working on. So I wasn't sure if that was clear with our congregation, but not only are they raising money to pay for their travel expenses and their living expenses while they're there, but there is a whole load of money on top of that that will go into projects And we've been a part of building the schoolhouse, is that right? And also a part of building the auditorium, the sanctuary, and sponsoring students in the school, and the library, this church. We have no idea how many people have been reached because we've been willing to give to Belize. But that's what's going to bring back Jesus Christ. I have faith he will return. Do you? He asked the question, will there be any faith? Will I find any faith on the earth when I return? Yes. We've got faith. God is coming back. He is sending his son back once again. And people will be surprised at who's coming. Because he left in a very different way than what he will return. Riding that white horse as a mighty warrior and conqueror. And he will release his wrath upon this world, upon wickedness. Until that time, that's God's to do, not ours, right? We pray, we believe, we have faith, hope, and love. So faith helps us reach our communities. It helps us take that gospel message wherever we're at, looking for opportunities to share the love and the goodness of God. And don't believe the lie that the enemy tells you that, well, they don't want to hear. It doesn't really. They're not interested. If you feel that tugging, take an opportunity to share. A friend of mine was in Cracker Barrel yesterday. And she was eating and she saw a whole table of African Americans gathered together eating. And she said, out of a kind gesture as a Christian, she stopped them when they got up to leave. And she said she was bawling her eyes out. And she said, I'm a Christian. And I believe God wants me to bless you today and buy all of your meals. Well, they were doing a happy dance in Cracker Barrel. Hallelujah. And they started crying and hugging and talking, and she wanted to bless them. Little gestures. We are one. We are one. Dr. Ben Carson, he said, if half the boat sinks, the whole boat's going down. We've got to remember we're all in the same boat. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. There's neither male nor female. That's what the scripture says. There's neither Jew nor Greek. God does not differentiate. And putting the Jews and the Greeks together, that was a huge, huge transition. Because they were very divided. So God knows how to do this thing. And we've got to trust God and be a part. Who's on the Lord's side? You know? Who's on the Lord's side? I'm on the Lord's side. Thank you, Lord. Loving people are able to demonstrate the characteristics found in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And remember, this is to the church. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I like the guy in the videotape. He said, I got to be honest. I'm really good at keeping records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. William Carey was the father of modern missions, and he had great faith. And what he said was, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Faith. I'm going to ask praise team if they'll get ready to come. I just wanted to read once again two scriptures we did at the beginning. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the word that has come to us today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. Thank you for the rhema word that you have spoken to us today. We thank you, Father, that you, O God, are able to quicken it into our hearts and into our minds. And we praise you today. If there's anyone here that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do that today. God is here. This great salvation is for those who believe, whoever believes. So if you believe after hearing the message this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was buried and rose again, and sits at the right hand of the Father, then I encourage you at the close of our service to come forward and to pray. And so we're going to get ready for our last song, but I'm going to wait on Bryson and Brianna, our interns this summer, and they're serving on worship team, and they serve down in the children's department. And so even if you text them that it's time for them to come, they don't always get the text message. So they're going to come back this morning, and they're going to sing a song for us, All the Poor and Powerless, All the Lost and Lonely. God wants to reach them, and he'll use you to do that. He'll use you. Tell your neighbor he's going to use you. You're never too old. Never too old to do that. But you are God's chosen one. He chose you. Sometimes we ask, why would you choose me? Probably several of you have experienced that when they choose teams in school, you know. And they overlook you because they really don't want you on their team. Got to be healed from rejection. But God chose you. You're exactly what he was looking for. You have everything that you need for life, for this life, and for godliness. So God has given us what we need. He's already set it aside. Just to share something, I was meditating on that thought. You can come on out if you guys are all here. Just meditating on that thought that God has given us all that we need. You know, we're working on updating the building on the outside. And we had hired some painters, and they'll be here next week, if it is possible, the weather cooperates, to paint the upper level. It'll be painted the same as the siding, the new siding. And then we're planning to get the siding put on at some point in time. But as I prayed, and Elder Sylvia was with me, I felt like I had a rhema word from the Lord. And he said, I gave you this building to bless you, and everything that you have need of, I've got set aside for this season of time. So everything we need, God will supply. Amen. We don't know how it's going to come, but God said he would bring it. And so we trust God to continue. We have faith in God. Don't give up. Don't give up on the promises of God that he has spoken to our River of Life family, because he is faithful. He asked us to have faith in him and in his rhema word, in his word that has been spoken, because he desires to bless us above all things.